Welcome to episode 23 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and here with me today, co-host Matt Mueller.
What up?
And completing our original trinity, as it's said in the superhero world, is Brandon Davis is back.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
And we brought Brandon Davis back from his all-day cowboy ways so we can sit down and talk about some of the biggest things that are happening in pop culture all year. It's starting to kick off already. We've had the Game of Thrones premiere, and we're going to go back over it. It's also getting hectic out there because Avengers Endgame spoilers are coming at us hard already. So we're going to discuss that and how to avoid the spoilers, not the actual spoilers. So let's not get that confused. And we're going to talk about some more fun things that are going on in the culture right now, starting with some Disney Plus talk. We're going to flip it up from what I put in the show notes and start with a little bit just to throw you guys off.
What?
Yeah, I got to throw you guys off, see if you're still with it. We're going to talk about Disney Plus because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. We talked a little bit. I wasn't here, but you guys kind of covered the Hawkeye series coming to Disney Plus. But then we found out a whole lot more. Basically found out that Disney Plus is going to be as first advertised, prophesized, whatever you want to call it. It's a Netflix killer, right?
No.
You don't, what?
I don't think it's a Netflix
killer. This segment is not going already.
I don't think it's a Netflix. I think there's room for both.
Okay, well, it's going to have a bunch of movies from Disney, a bunch of movies from 20th Century Fox. It's going to have original series for Star Wars that we're going to get to later in the program because we have a whole Star Wars Celebration recap to do. Original shows for the MCU, and it's going to at least begin at $6.99 per month.
It's definitely a grave shot in the leg.
Oh, no, yes. Absolutely.
It's
a fantastic value.
Well, I mean, maybe a slow bleed out of some
gut
sort.
Wound. Netflix gut wound.
This is if you had only CBS on TV and there was no ABC, NBC, or Fox, and then this is like the other channels came along. I think we're shifting towards streaming stuff. So obviously this is the first big sign of competition. Is it going to kill Netflix? No, but is it going to take away from them? Yeah, sure. Not all the ratings will be on Netflix now.
I mean, yeah, because like Netflix currently has, what was the last thing, like 140 million users, and Disney Plus isn't even looking to hit 90 until 2024, 2026. Like, we got a ways to get to, I think people forget how big Netflix is nowadays, but again, this is great. Like, it's a
Do you know how many times people thought Netflix was going to die?
Yeah.
Remember when they switched to streaming and everybody was like, oh, this is the stupidest thing. They're charging a separate charge for streaming versus mailing and Netflix is going to die. And then what happened?
Well, usually I think that most of those people died off, usually in stupid ways because they couldn't see like the easy future coming down the pike.
It's like the Halo.
But the real question is, Netflix stock plummeted.
But has Netflix had a giant hit recently?
No, they're going to have to actually start reading the scripts before they greenlight. Like, I mean, this is going to make a major change to the way they do business.
Well, and it also comes down to, we have all these Marvel shows that are going to be on this service and the Star Wars shows. But will we get original things like from the Fox aspect of it? Maybe
they'll go to Hulu.
Well, why would they go to Hulu? Because that's my problem.
Because
then.
They own part of.
But that's Hulu. My problem then because Netflix does series like Stranger Things. Like
Stranger Things is done after.
Okay, great. So what? That's not my point. They do things like Stranger Things. They do things like You. They do things like Love and Robots, whatever that show is, and Umbrella Academy, and things like that. So
and the princess,
but that is geared. They have series and original films that are for a wider audience, whereas Disney content is for family audiences. So do they tap in to Fox and do an alien show, or not even a franchise show, just an original title that is all, like it has nothing to do with Marvel, nothing to do with Star Wars?
I would imagine that would go to Hulu.
Well, that's dumb.
And I also think at some point...
Do you want Disney Plus to kill Netflix or not?
No, I want both.
Well, then no, it's not a Netflix killer if it's not going
to
happen.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I don't think nothing... I mean, nothing's going to kill Netflix.
I'm never going to subscribe to Hulu.
I will probably drop my Netflix subscription.
You're going to drop your Netflix
Hulu has the golden girls.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to know. You said the magic word, like... People like me and Jim who are like, you know, we are family men. Like, yeah, if I got to choose... I'm going Disney Plus all the way because I can give the kids a whole bunch of what they want and still get a whole lot of what I want that's even more connected to what I actually do, you know.
I'm just going
to
add it to
but if I'm subscribed to two of them, I'm subscribed to Disney Plus and Netflix, not Disney Plus and Hulu.
Oh, I'm going Disney Plus and Hulu.
I'm currently subscribed to five streaming services right now.
WWE Universe.
WWE, DC Universe, Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Jeez.
Netflix. And it will be Disney Plus. Like, I literally am just.
I'm surprised you didn't count Amazon Music as a streaming service.
I mean, if you want to count it, six.
I mean, are you a DC Universe?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the first one to go.
That one gets first one to go.
That one's not getting a lot
absolutely
of miles.
Maybe we should just change this to a DC
it's
Universe.
It's a DC I'll Universe though, killer.
But like, this Disney thing, the Disney Plus totally killed the DC Universe app.
And at $7.99?
It will just get folded in to whatever Warner Brothers inevitably
maybe Netflix
does,
buys it.
Oh, and CBS.
Well, no, it'll just go into...
Why can't Warner Brothers start licensing with Netflix just like Marvel did at one point?
Why take half of the money when you can have all of the
you
money?
Started with this.
Because nobody's going to subscribe to just...
No one's going to subscribe to a Warner Brothers thing? They've got...
I'm not going to subscribe to Warner Brothers.
They've got Full House. They've got Gilmore Girls.
They're
going to
have
stuff.
Friends once
the thing
runs out.
They're going to have a ton of stuff. They're going
to
be...
Man, this is all... Okay, so I think just to sum this all up, because it's gotten way off the rails, is that basically this is all getting more complicated. And what I even thought was a clear answer with my first statement has just derailed it to total, you know,
Hulu has
know,
Golden Girls,
like just total chaos in here,
and I will never let go.
So, all right, we have the full details of everything about Disney Plus on the site right now. You can check it out, but yeah, it's going to be serious competition. These Marvel series, these Star Wars, the Fox films, it's going to at least be a shot in the leg to Netflix and other streaming services. We'll see how it goes. Moving right along. Avengers Endgame spoilers. We've had, we're getting to the, I said at the beginning of the show, we're not talking about the spoilers, but it's already happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're not aware, don't go out there unprepared. There was a major leak.
Earlier than what happened for Infinity War, or?
I mean, this is...
Wait, what happened with Infinity
War? This is worse.
Yeah,
I was going to
say, I don't remember what happened with
Infinity War. Infinity War leaked
Batman
the whole HD
Superman?
Scene.
Was that what the one?
Batman vs. Superman, I saw Superman dead about a week before the movie came out, and I got because I saw the movie the Tuesday before it released on Friday, and I already knew that Superman was going to die because I saw it in a comment section.
Yeah, I mean, that was all over the place. So, I mean, this is probably the worst case. We've been talking for weeks about how good it is to get into this movie, however long it is, completely unspoiled, and how excited we are. But, you know, internet's going to internet, as we say around here, and the spoilers are out. There's already been a massive kind of footage leak, and it's going all over the internet. Pics are popping up. So we've kind of put together to help you guys out. We are not trafficking in these spoilers. We're not kind of, you know, printing headlines in this. We want Marvel fans to really get the full experience out of this film. But we have put together a kind of handy guide to helping you avoid spoilers. And I think we're all out here, we're maybe making jokes, but it's really not a joke, but it really is like Bird Box out here right now. Like, you see these things and you're ruined forever and you
people
might...
are trying to make you open your eyes and you don't want to. I don't want to.
We won't mention any names of people who are
someone in this room who's not
I have
on this
not
side
done anything.
By the way, Netflix made Bird Box.
Yes, yeah, so somebody. Let's not mention names.
Dead.
Let's say James V. No, that's too obvious. Jay Viscardi.
Old Jimmy V.
I'm just kidding. But seriously though, if you want to, please take a look. We have this article about how to avoid Avengers Endgame spoilers. If you're not like social media savvy, there are a lot of little nifty tricks you can do to kind of, you know, create your safe space. For once, I kind of condone a social media safe space in this case to kind of create a bubble so you don't have to hear these things and you can try to avoid it. My recommendation is take the next week, rewatch some old Marvel films, spend some time off your phone, go outside for a walk and just enjoy, you know, the coming of spring or the spring and the coming of summer and do something else besides be on social media, because the more you spend time on it, like, the more likely it is that somebody's going to, you know, take a crap in your punch bowl on this.
Honestly, throw your phone on the ground and do a dance on it.
Yeah. Like, that's I mean, the I think only Brandon way. Davis think made a joke earlier today that, you know, you should be getting those alerts from, like, Apple every week that say, like, your screen time is down by, like, 60%.
Mine's going to be down the lowest it's ever been. Dude, I was just scrolling through Twitter last night, and I tweeted, they gave out these T-shirts at the Avengers Junket, and on the side it says, hashtag don't spoil the endgame. So I tweeted, hashtag don't spoil the endgame with a picture of that sleeve, and I was reading through the responses.
You might
somebody,
as well put a giant-ass target on
well, your listen, I'm just trying to spread the good word here, all right? And somebody responded to my tweet with a photo of this from this a screenshot of the leak stuff. And I'm lucky because this wasn't a huge one. Like this wasn't, I mean, it was definitely something I didn't want to know. But I saw it, I closed it out really quickly, and then I realized I don't want my followers to see this. So I took one for the team, guys. I clicked on their account. They had another photo as their header image, and that was even it was more confusing, but also worse. And so then I blocked them. And then I went into my settings, and I made it so that any notifications I get, anything I see on Twitter, is only from people that I follow. So only people I trust. I'm sorry. It's anybody else. I won't be responding in the next week, but I only respond to people I know and trust.
They understand.
And I suggest you do the same thing.
Brandon Davis, attach image. Oh, sorry.
Stop it.
Stop. Wow.
I won't see it. I won't see it. I blocked Jim Viscardi on all of social media. I blocked his number. He's
we're
like
kind of all in the end game now about this.
Dude, we're
one, right?
So close.
We're
we are
all
so
in the
close.
End game now. But
it's so hard though.
It is. I mean,
it's
it is
like
tempting.
Right there. It's
tempting.
Like I could just literally type in a word.
Okay, let me ask you one thing.
If someone told you the end of, if someone said they knew how Game of Thrones ended, would you want to know?
No.
No.
Why? Yes. Why would I want to know?
But I don't want to.
Why would I want to know that?
Just, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, let me ask you before we move on real quick. What is the worst thing you ever had spoiled for you that like you really wish you didn't?
The ending of my favorite movie, Seven, was spoiled for me while I was playing JV soccer for a guy who I later got to see smash his face on the end of a car, so I guess karmically we kind of came full circle. Hey, man, this was during a fish festival. He was too messed up. Don't get me. But the thing was, like, he came out and he just said the words, "It's her head in a box." And then somebody literally tackled him and grabbed him, like a good movie fan, tackled him and grabbed him and, like, covered his mouth. And I didn't understand
and then
what
threw him in front of a car.
Yeah, I mean, later on. But that's
who
how we do it.
Who does that?
Philadelphians. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Later on, like, yeah, when the movie came and that scene came, like, it all fell into place. It all clicked. And I was just standing in the theater, like, ripping my hair out, cursing because I was so mad.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen to me based on what I saw with Endgame.
Okay. I don't have one that's more I don't have one, like, off the top of my head that's more recent. But this one, so the first season of 24 had come and gone, right? So but shortly, like, it finally ended and everything. So I was like, oh, we were watching them when you went to the rental store and rented movies, right? Rented seasons and blocks.
Yeah,
so I was we were almost to the end, right, and everything, and I was literally in the doctor's office and I was reading like an entertainment magazine, and because of the time difference, I pull up a thing and like the next page has this big thing of like when she turned on the rest of them. I was like, no. And it was literally the next episode. Like I got to the next episode.
Oh, man,
and so the people I was watching it with were so blindsided. And I was just like sitting
there.
You're
just in a corner crying. And you're like, Matt, you're taking this really hard.
I think for me it was and I'm usually one who's pretty okay with spoilers. I'm more about the journey than I am about like what actually happens or whatnot.
Yeah, you love ruining it.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say this is a fancy way of saying I spoil things.
Yeah. But for me, I'll never forget. It was when I found out that Buffy came back to life.
Oh,
that to me, I was like, oh, wow,
man. My worst one is definitely I had the flash forward and the Charlie scene with Not Penny's boat. On Lost, and that's my favorite show. I was so filled with regret on reading that, but I like sought it out.
Oh, that was scary. Yeah, that was so good. That was like one of the scariest.
And it hurts more that you saw. Why did you seek it out?
Because it was I was like 13 and I was obsessed with Lost. I couldn't wait like a day for the episode to air.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Learn from these stories of pain we've just shared with you. And
share yours. I want to hear yours.
Yeah, I mean, send us Comic Book Nation your worst spoiling moments and try to just dip into Twitter, send it to us, and dip out before you get spoiled.
I might not read it until next week, though.
All right. So, moving right along, we got.
It's a great
this one's just
Comic
a little.
Nation hashtag is just going to be a bunch of pictures from the.
I'm not searching.
All right. Moving on. We're going to do the next the thing now that I got to try to recover from that one is kind of a nerdy little thing we just want to mention. Star Trek. We have a new Picard series is coming up that's going to be kind of taking things forward in time from the end of those movies. And we've been hearing this. And if you're a Star Trek, the Next Generation kind of geek like I was growing up in the 90s, this is a fun one. Jonathan Franks is returning.
Are you excited?
Oh, I'm very excited. Yeah, I was very excited. I was off for a couple days, and I read that headline, and there were a lot of headlines coming out of this place and all over the internet pretty fast and furious, no pun. But, Riker's coming back, and I saw that, and I had to stop and be like, what? Like off of my vacation and was like, I had to sit down and just read this. But yeah, Riker's coming back to join Picard in this series. He'll be in the second block of episodes, and it's a 10-episode series. He'll be in about episodes 3 and 4, and he's kind of released a statement on it. I'm not going to go too deep into that. I just wanted to say that as a Star Trek The Next Generation nerd, I was very happy about this because, I don't know, you can't have a Picard series and not check in with Riker. Like, you got to do it. Yeah,
they go hand to hand.
That was, like, one of the great partnerships of Star Trek, man, like, really. So I'm super excited about that, and that's been my personal little PSA. I'm getting more and more excited about this whole Picard series the more I hear about it, and it's kind of backdoor making me want to check out Discovery and really catch up on that.
Ooh, Jamie will be thing.
Yeah, I know. Jamie Love is going to be loving it. He'll be like, yes, it's working. They're getting them. So that's a little PSA for all you TNG geeks out there. Hit me up if you are also happy about this one. Brandon Davis, I don't know if you're going to be less interested in this or our upcoming discussion about Star Wars, which we're about to get into. So stay tuned, because when we get back, we're going to talk about two big things that happened over the course of the weekend, which is the Game of Thrones final season premiere and Star Wars Celebration.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, so let's talk about Star Wars. I'm sorry, Brandon, we brought you back mostly just to pain you or just to talk about, but I thought, seriously though, I thought this would be a good one to kind of get your impression on, because you were somebody who was left very unhappy with The Last Jedi. You've been there's been no secret since we've started the show, right from the test episode. But we at Star Wars Celebration this year, we got three big things. I know, we're going to release it. You got to hype it. Yeah. One day we got to release it. We're going to run out of t-shirts. But three big things that happened on the Star Wars front over the weekend. There was a big thing in the movies, big thing on TV, and big thing in the video games. We got the first trailer and the official title for Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, which is episode 9. We got our first look at the Mandalorian TV series, and we got a first look at the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game, which I am psyched for.
I'm all about that, man.
Man, it's been, I mean, I guess we'll go backwards. I mean, no, we'll start. Let's start in order. So, Rise of Skywalker came out, and we got this trailer that had this kind of cool, depending on how you look at it, some people are already nitpicking it. First sequence of Daisy Ridley's Rey kind of running away from a TIE fighter and then kind of flipping up in the air. It looks like she's about to cut that
people
thing.
Are nitpicking that?
Yeah, because people are like, why didn't the TIE fighter shoot her is like a big Jesus. Question. Like,
have some fun.
Yeah. God. You're talking about Star Wars. The fun, this is no longer about fun. But yeah, this title, specifically the title has just gotten people flipped out. I see Rich is back in the booth peeking up like, yeah. But people are kind of, you know, it's buzzing about what this title means. I mean, I don't think, except for the people who predicted it long ago, because apparently we predict every title now, but
there's only so many possibilities.
Somebody has to win the lottery if enough people play.
Yeah. And but if people are flipped out about this because, I mean, after like The Last Jedi and the events of that and seeing Luke die, like this is not a title we expected or the implication that we expected from the title. But it's what J.J. Abrams is delivering to us, and there's already a lot of speculation about what this could mean. Will this be the Kylo Ren redemption story is what I'm writing now. Will this be somehow Luke is back? Because we're also getting a major return to the series in the form of Emperor Palpatine, a.k.a. Darth Sidious.
He won't be the only one.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, so there's room to say that like some other Skywalker could return or rise or do something. Would we see like a return from Vader? Like, it's all over the place. The speculation has gone from speculating about nothing to now speculating about all of this.
I gotta say, I really like the Kevin Smith theory.
That yeah, I do too. Kevin Smith, if you don't know, is, you know, geek culture pundit who likes to weigh in, and apparently we like to listen to everything he weighs in on. So he basically predicted that one thing could be like, yeah, and I think this would be an amazing finale to the saga, which is after these events, like, the Jedi Order is gone, but we kind of renamed that order and the type of Force user as a Skywalker.
Yeah.
Which is actually a really cool way.
It's great.
I mean, it's kind of a Dark Knight Rises, your name is Robin type deal, but, like,
it's one of those theories that when I read, like, after I read it, I went, okay, now if that doesn't, like, that's one of the few scenarios, like, if that doesn't happen, I'll be bummed. Because I actually really like
it. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. I mean, just the name Skywalkers and, like, the whole thing about
and you
about
burn
the
old religion down, you know, the Jedi's, like, all that would make sense within that context.
Exactly, and I think that would be really cool.
I just hope that whatever happens, it all means something. I just hope that they have the narrative threads that started again with The Force Awakens and picked up from the original trilogy. I just hope they mean something. I hope it doesn't become just the simple.
Well, this was my. This is why I think it was interesting to have you here, because I think you're an interesting case. From what you've seen already, do you have any more hope? Do you have a new hope yet?
No.
That JJ is going to kind of bring things around from what you didn't like.
I mean, I don't doubt that Rise of the Skywalker can be a very good movie. I just have no. I don't know enough. The trailer was cool. I thought it was fun. I mean, and I'm obviously going to watch this movie. As soon as I have access to watching this movie, I'm going to watch it. But, I mean, I just hope that, like, The Force Awakens seemed to be setting up the same complex, unexpected, plot-twisting narrative threads that we got in the original trilogy of Star Wars. That there's no way to see it coming, that they're going to pay off in unexpected ways. There's going to be plot twists that are meaningful. And when you look back, there are ways to say, oh, they did have this planned. Oh, this was something that was coming out from the beginning that they were working towards and just misleading us. And then The Last Jedi seems to say, we're not doing that this time. It's all very linear. Like, nothing you thought mattered matters. And that pissed me off. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks that. And I know some people appreciate that. And you know what? If you appreciate that, that's fine. I don't appreciate that. That's just, like, my opinion, man. So I just hope that, like, Rey matters for somehow. Like, the Skywalker name matters somehow. Other than just being an inspiration. Like, I hope there's some kind of payoff. If they're bringing characters back, like the Emperor, give me a reason to bring him back other than just showing him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already been implied that this one's going to tie up all of this stuff and that there are, I mean, these things like bringing back the Emperor isn't frivolous. There's entire articles about how this was always in the plans. And, like, so it does feel like we are coming back towards this thing. But
imagine if the original trilogy put a villain in like Snoke and hyped them up like that and then just offed them with absolutely no payoff.
But that's exactly what you just said you wanted. You just said you wanted a movie that took chances and that wasn't the same old, and literally they gave you that and you hate it.
How
like
is that?
The Last Jedi takes chances.
How does it take chances?
You literally want the same thing you saw before.
No,
and they gave you
the
opposite,
and
then you're complaining.
I don't want
that
the same thing. I don't want the same thing at all. I want the same complexity.
Snoke.
And Snoke didn't matter. Snoke ended up being completely irrelevant.
But here's the thing. Like,
Rey's parents,
there's potential.
Irrelevant.
It's not like they're not mutually exclusive ideas. Like, there's things that The Last Jedi did that seemed to throw away the past that could be turned around by the Rise of Skywalker. Snoke could have been a puppet for the Emperor, and that has meaning.
I hope so. And that would be cool.
And it could be all to manipulate Kylo Ren. There could be a lot of things that they could reveal. And that could change the context. And I think
there are things that Rise of the Skywalker could do that could make me look at The Last Jedi and say, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the end of the day, someone like Snoke, he wasn't a Sith master. He was just someone who was Force sensitive, who figured out a way to use
It's
Force
kind of, you could make the argument he's like Grand Moff Tarkin in the original.
Right,
series,
just with Force choke.
Yeah, exactly. And
so you're telling me that if,
so
hold on, let me make a metaphor
one,
here.
Then,
you're telling me that if after all those Marvel movies, in Infinity War, they killed Thanos halfway through, you'd have just been like, well, okay.
That's, I mean, they arguably could be going back in time to kill Thanos halfway through right now in an endgame.
Had to get there because Thanos just won. Don't ask.
If we ask Jim, we can find out.
Any of those, like if they hyped it up, it's you all hated Iron Man 3 because of what they did with the Mandarin after building him up as a villain just through trailers.
That's not why I hated Iron Man 3. I hate Iron Man 3 for a bevy of reasons.
But I get what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying with the Mandarin.
I actually thought that was funny. I liked that.
If they built Thanos up to be this huge villain, just like they built the Mandarin up to be this huge villain, and then all of a sudden they said, ha-ha, that don't matter. Maybe if what Kofi's saying is true, and it is like there is some grander scheme in order that is going to be a great payoff. I will look at The Last Jedi a little bit differently. Mm. I probably won't enjoy it just watching it as a movie because I feel like there's only a couple of scenes in the movie that entertained me to begin with, which are the fight scene with Kylo and Rey and the scene where Holdo just goes through the other ship. I thought those were incredible sequences. But then you like the movie as a whole, I didn't enjoy it. Mm. Just as a movie.
That's fair.
So it does like I think there is a chance that some of the chances they took that Matt's talking about can pay off and make me say, oh, I see why they did it. Doesn't mean I like it, but I understand it.
All right,
does
moving
that make
on.
Sense? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's a fair thing. I mean, we're going to keep an eye on it, and as we see more, we'll talk more and see how it goes. But moving on to Disney Plus streaming, we got our first look over Star Wars Celebration at The Mandalorian, which is one of my highly anticipated new shows coming. Pedro Pascal will play The Mandalorian of title. We have people like Gina Carano's in it. And we got a first look at this, and I think I like this because I've talked about this openly on here, that one of the things I think is missing and that I loved about Rogue One and I think is going to be great about the Cassian Andor series is the idea of seeing more of the Star Wars underworlds, and that whole kind of thing of gangsters, bounty hunters, assassins. And this series, if you read the kind of breakdown of the footage that we have that was revealed at Star Wars Celebration, seems to be just that, right? Like, this is a hard-hitting, kind of gritty, underworld kind of themed show that I think is going to be very entertaining, a great addition to Star Wars, and a great kind of first addition to some live-action Star Wars television. They're not going boring. They're kind of going big with this. And I'm really excited for it.
I think it looks awesome. I think this is the most excited I've been for any Star Wars content since the Force Awakens trailer. And I think this just looks really cool. Like you said, ground level in the Star Wars universe. And what we saw at Celebration, I think it looks really, really cool.
It's just crazy the amount of money that's being spent on this type of television now.
Yeah.
Like it's almost
$6.99 a month, man. Gets you...
Yeah, we broke this down on an early episode of the show about, you know, how Disney is throwing real money behind these TV shows. And we asked a question here about, you know, could you do the MCU really on television? Like, is Scarlet Witch going to get a black... Are they just going to throw out Black Widow's wig from Iron Man 2 to Elizabeth Olsen and be like, put this on? Like, is Vision going to be like just a red face putty? But no, it sounds like real money is coming to make this content an actual extension of the film franchise, which is really good for fans. I mean, it's going to be a big screw you to some of the people who've been working on the TV side of both things like Marvel and Star Wars for years. But as we now get this upgrade, they probably wanted in every budgeting meeting. But yeah, I mean, this is really exciting. And The Mandalorian, I think, like I said, is going to be this awesome extension of the Star Wars universe. And I think we confirmed it's set between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, correct?
Yep. I think it's only just shortly after Return of the
Jedi. Yeah, shortly after Return of the Jedi. And that's gonna be interesting because there is this gap still to fill between that. And we've seen some stories like already, but I think this one is going to be more exciting than like Star Wars Resistance, the animated series that's out right now.
See, and that's like the biggest thing. Like, I'm excited to see this. But that time period doesn't interest me much. Like, it's that time period. Like, the time period of something we're going to talk about in a minute does. But it's a contrast.
But
like,
I think do you think the time period is going to play a huge part since this is a ground level?
No, I think it's good because this will flesh out. There's potential here.
Yeah,
there's untapped potential to kind of flesh out.
I think the hardcore fans will be able to say, oh, that's a cool thing that kind of went from here to there and explains that, while the average fan will just be like, okay, cool, this is
is going to sound like total fanboy whining, but I was upset to learn that what we thought was IG-88, because it was just an IG model robot, is not IG-88 in this. It's just IG-11, just a different droid.
It's a droid.
But like, part of me was kind of hoping to see more of that type of stuff where, you know, you have this mercenary type show, you know, this mercenary show that, you know, I wanted to see some nods here or there. And I get this is probably considered a nod because it's an IG unit, but like, I'd love to learn more about IG-88. And I think that's something that would like draw me in as a fan, you know, an older fan who kind of wants to learn more about that world.
Yeah.
And just now, you know, we'll see it and it's just going to be someone else. And it's like, all right. But whatever. I know that's just me whining.
That's all right. I mean, and we're going to have many of these discussions coming along. But yeah, you can check out the full breakdown of what The Mandalorian showed us on the site. We're going to move on to the final topic of Star Wars Celebration, Jedi Fallen Order, which is going to be a new video game that is set in a time period I think Matt is more excited about, which is kind of
after Revenge of the Sith.
After Revenge of the Sith, before A New Hope. And they've already done this with Star Wars Rebels about Kanan and being in a kind of leftover Jedi, but this is really intense and interesting. It has, what's his name from Gotham?
Cameron Monaghan.
Cameron Monaghan from Shameless and Gotham, who's just killing it, man. I mean, he's Gotham's new Joker, and now he's going to be this new Star Wars hero. And it's going to be a Padawan who survives Order 66.
How many of these are left? How many of these Padawans that survived Order 66 are left?
I mean, considering the Jedi Order, there's a fair amount to say there are, like, so far they haven't done, like, real Jedi. It's all these kind of in-between characters who were just in-between somewhere of training when it all happened. Mm-hmm. This kid was a Padawan. Kanan was an unconfirmed Jedi. He had been trained but never fully, in, you know, kind of brought over into the Order. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about this. It's more about, like, I love the time period. I love the actual, like, premise that we're going to follow this person as he kind of, you know, he was already training and he's learning. Maybe we'll see, you know, teases of Luke and Kylo, you never know, right? But it's more about who is in charge, which is the same people, Respawn Entertainment, that made Titanfall, which Titanfall was fantastic. These people, it's a lot like when Spider-Man was announced and Insomniac was a developer behind it.
Yeah.
I was like, I have faith, complete and utter
faith. I have faith in Respawn. Yeah.
So the fact that, and also it's a third person action game. I was kind of, at first, the trailer, you don't know if it's first person or not. I'm kind of not the biggest first person guy.
No, Star Wars games, you know, classic NES.
I want to see the saber. Exactly. I want to see, so I was very stoked. Like, all of this has me excited.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to be, I'm hoping that it does, for Star Wars, what Spider-Man did for Spider-Man, which is just really make that act of being a Jedi kind of come alive.
Yeah.
And with this intense kind of pressure of a chase scene where basically you're on the run and up against it and have to kind of develop. And the first trailer is really well done. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of mimicking these three things, like, never, like, don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
Like, don't reach out and, like, basically use the Force and all this stuff. And then situations which force this person to do that. And, like, yeah, taking control of a third-person game and kind of getting to live in the Star Wars universe and really get immersed in that is going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
That I'm excited. So, yeah, check out Jedi Fallen Order if you haven't. Because I think this is going to be a good one for gaming come the fall. It comes out in November, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, Star Wars is taking over this winter.
Booyah!
This fall. All right, so that'll do it from Star Wars, and we will jump over from a galaxy far, far away to a world of Westeros, which is currently unfolding. We got the Game of Thrones final season premiere. And I think they should have called this episode Awkward Reunions, because basically, that's what the premiere was, right? I'm BD. It was just a bunch of series of scenes, a lot of scenes where we had characters who had some kind of previous relationship or some kind of major conflict in past seasons of the show, kind of meeting up again for the first time in a long time. And we got to see how those relationships kind of played out and other things that were set up and new conflicts between characters who haven't really met before kind of being set up for this final season. And, if you thought this was just going to be a nonstop battle or something like that, you probably were a little thrown by this first episode, but I really liked it. I really liked it just for the interactions and playing upon all the knowledge that we've had about the show and the characters kind of coming into play for some key scenes.
I liked the episode a lot. It felt like this is Game of Thrones filler episode, and it's still better than some of the better episodes of other shows. I'm glad that all the characters after 7 years have finally beaten the gym and got their gym badge that you're required to have fast travel. Because everybody's just going from place to place and it's not taking an entire season now. Jamie made it to Winterfell already. Super fast, just like Jon Snow was traveling the entire landscape and Dany was traveling the entire landscape really fast towards the end of last year. I liked the reunion between the Hound and Arya Stark.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And then Jon and Arya and Jamie and Bran and everyone, and he just kind of stares at everybody. Bran is weird, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, Bran's weird. I mean, but it's also weird seeing Bran as a full grown
Jon Snow. Jon Snow said to Bran, like, look at you, you're a man now. And Bran was just like, almost. Like, what does that mean? What is it?
I couldn't tell if it was a reference to him being a three-eyed raven or being, you know, paralyzed and stuff like that.
Or the Night King, I don't know. You think he's going to want to push Jamie out of a tower?
Well, I don't know. No, I think...
Has he gotten laid yet? I don't watch
that. Bran Stark?
Yeah. No.
No, he's been carried on Hodor's back.
I mean, if that counts.
No, he is not. I think he's still got his V-card. Same. Unlike literally everyone else on the show, he's probably the only one.
So, I mean, like, yeah, no. I just thought that was kind of like a reference, yeah, to him being either a three-eyed raven or just, you know, paralyzed.
Or able to walk. A virgin.
Yeah, or a virgin. But, like, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this episode was good. It checked in with everybody that we needed to check in with. And like you said, there were just some great scenes. I personally liked, I like Arya in throughout the entire episode because I just feel like there's so much good stuff teased, especially like in her conversation with Jon. I love that under the weird tree where it sounded like she's kind of soft threatening him. At the same time as giving him a hug and welcoming him.
Yeah, I
and
think...
saying,
I
like,
think
you better remember whose side you're on. It made me think, like, you could see a twist where Arya has to end up stabbing Jon, and it's like, oh, man.
I think Arya is going to become Jon. That's my theory. I think that you have this battle at Winterfell against the Night King, and they'll lose. Bad. A lot of people are going to die. And the remaining characters, which will probably be, like, Jon and Sansa and Jaime, Tyrion, and the Hound and a couple of people, namely those five, probably will go over to King's Landing. There will be a feud with Cersei. Somehow they'll beat the Night King there. And I think at some point, maybe not the very end of the show, but at some point, Jon Snow will end up on the Iron Throne, rightfully, as you know, as he just learned he has a claim to. And then we'll find out it's just Arya Stark pulling a Loki in Thor the Dark World, acting as Jon Snow because he died and she knew all along that. She found out somewhere along this journey that Jon had the rightful claim. She's going to get full revenge against Cersei for her father's death. She's going to get full revenge against Dany for trying to divide her family. Arya Stark don't play. And I think if she
so you're subscribing to the Arya gets the throne theory.
At least for some time.
That would be a crazy, I mean, that would be a crazy ending if you see Jon Snow sitting on a thing and then he just rips off his face and it's like Arya.
Yeah, I think Arya Stark as Jon Snow gets the throne. Loki as Odin in Thor the Dark World's post-credits
scene. Some Tom Cruise Mission Impossible type deal.
Wow.
That'd be great if he just went back into his own quarters and was just like...
Sounds kind of cool. Almost
a girl
watch.
Will rule.
I legitimately only started watching this last Sunday.
No one's
and
perfect.
I totally love that theory.
I hope that's what happens. I love Arya Stark. I think they set up the divide between the Stark family and Dany. And Arya is the only one who has the... gall, I guess, to act on something like that. She doesn't care. She's ruthless when it comes to carrying out a plan for the betterment of her family and for her people, for Winterfell and whatnot. So if it means protecting Sansa in the Stark name, she will pose as Jon and not tell anybody Jon's dead if Jon dies.
What's that weapon she's trying to make?
She's trying to make a weapon out of dragonglass so that she can kill the Whites, the Night King's army. Yeah. So she has a sword named Needle that she's had since the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that is just, that king can't kill any dragon glass.
Yeah, she has to kill the White Walkers. Valyrian steel dagger right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good to see That's Gendry beginner. Back. My man Gendry.
Dude, you think Gendry and Arya are
going to end up together? Unless she has to kill him. That's my whole thing about Arya right now is like, unless she has to kill him.
She'll kill anybody. She
exactly.
Has to. Like, but you think about it, that would be Arya's complete arc, getting revenge for her father.
Oh, yeah.
And getting the throne.
Yeah.
That would be Arya's complete arc. And yeah. The show really has been... putting the women in the position of power.
I could see her and Sansa like scheming and coming up with this plan together.
I don't think Sansa survives. Ooh. I think Sansa has suddenly gotten very smart. I think she was dumb in the beginning. She's slowly gotten smarter. Right now she's very smart. And I don't understand why she's getting credit for being super smart all along, because she hasn't been. She's made some of the worst decisions early on, but then quickly kind of learned from it. And all of a sudden now she's like all
knowing. Well, that's her thing is like she became like Cersei. She became...
Yeah,
somebody who was
but
like,
she's going to get ahead of herself, I think. I think Dany's already too far ahead of herself. She's way too cocky now. And the fact that she doesn't know that Jon's a Targaryen based on the fact that he rode a dragon, that just kind of blows my mind. Maybe she does, and it's going to trigger something, and that's why she tested that theory. Maybe that was all a test. But I think that Sansa is going to end up... I don't think she makes it out.
Do you think Danny kills her?
Ooh.
Causing a split between her and Jon?
If she does, then that fuels my fire for Arya on the throne even more.
Oof. All right, well, there you have it. That's a pretty extensive Game of Thrones theory from Brandon Davis. It's one I like, so I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this show as it goes along for the next 6 weeks because, I mean, this is pretty much what's happening in pop culture on the small screen before Endgame gets here on the big screen. So stay tuned and let us know your great theories. That'll do it for Comic Book Nation. If you want to join the journey and ride with us, we post new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com. You can go there or subscribe to our RSS feed. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and we're on there. And you guys have been subscribing and dropping some great reviews. We appreciate it. If you leave us a 5-star review, we will read them on the show. And we've been sending out some comic book swag to fans who have been leaving us great reviews, so get in on that while you can. If you want to continue the conversation, you can always find us at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find us individually on Twitter. You can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
Find me at Matt Mueller CB.
And you can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
And you might not be able to find any of us for the next week or so. Yeah, but, you can try. Just you don't come in there. Don't try to bird box us. Don't try to bird box us with some dropping in Avengers spoilers on Comic Book Nation or whatever. That'll do it for this episode. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you. This is Comic Book Nation. We're out.
Deuces.